All right, let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be here tonight in this church service, Lord. Thank you for the boys and girls, the workers already downstairs, and Kids for Truth. Bless that ministry, Lord. Give the boys and girls ears to hear, eyes to see, Lord, a heart to understand the truths of the Word of God, no matter their age. And Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight as we open the Word of God up here, study the Word of God in Philippians, as we pray together as body of believers. We ask your blessing as the young people go down tonight, Lord, as they hear the preaching of the Word. Lord, stir up our young people for the things of God. Lord, if there be any in our children, our teens, any of our adults, those watching from home that have never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, I pray even tonight on a cold January tonight, tonight would be tonight they trust you as Savior. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. Ask your blessing now on this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, let's turn to 418 and stand and sing, Trust and Obey. 418.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the sky, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear, then abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, not a toil He doth richly we pay. But are blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows, or for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. On the last, then in fellowship sweet at His feet, by His light in the way, what He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
All right, amen. You can have a seat as our young people head down with the Cole Myers and be praying for them tonight as they'll be in youth group. The Word of God will be open tonight with them. All right, as they're making their way out, you know, we sang all five stanzas of those. Maybe it was a blur, but stanza number three, not a burden we bear. Think there's anybody in the room tonight that has a burden they're bearing? Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. So you're here tonight,
Not only is it cold outside, it could be cold in your heart. It could be a little dark. It could be some things weighing you down. So good to see Brian here, Brian Schaefer with us. I know many of you have been praying for him. His wife passed away last week. And in our minds, we say unexpectedly. And so that's obviously a loss and a hole there. And based on Brian's testimony of his wife, she knew the Lord, and we praise the Lord for that. Some of you may have experienced that, a spouse, but maybe not. Maybe you've had a child pass away, maybe a sibling, certainly a parent, grandparent, but that's a loss. And yet the Lord says, trust me, obey. Obey the Scriptures. Get in the Word of God. Put your faith in me. Focus on me. And we know that hard times and doubts will come, but may we put our faith and trust in the Lord. You're turning in your Bibles to the book of Philippians tonight. The book of Philippians is where we are currently studying here in our Wednesday night midweek service before we go to our prayer bulletins here in just a little bit. Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1 here tonight. Let me remind you that this Friday, 2 days from today, we have our business meeting, church business meeting, our annual church business meeting. That is at 7 o'clock on Friday evening. The last opportunity, if you've not picked up a copy there in the back, of the budget numbers, both 2024, projected budget numbers, 2025, the agenda, those things, you need to be getting those. So when you come in here, you've already looked over all of that. Don't forget, we do ask if you have a desire to bring up any new business. You say, something I really like to talk with the church about. You're a church member. We ask that you let me know or Brother Mike Goble by tomorrow afternoon, all right, so that our business meeting doesn't go extra long and that we can do everything in order. That way you have given us an opportunity to discuss that, be ready to give an answer. And so we're not talking about stuff that comes up during the business meeting with numbers, but we're talking about something not on the agenda that you say, hey, I really like to bring this up, something on my heart. Please make sure you let one of Brother Mike, who's heading the deacons at the moment, or myself know about that so that we can be prepared and give a good and proper answer that we have had some time to look over during that time. Okay? All right, Philippians chapter number 1 is where we're at tonight. There should be a Bible nearby if you came in tonight and left it in the car. It'll be nice and cold if you left it outside or you just don't carry one. Grab a copy of the Bible, the book of Philippians there toward the back. Philippians chapter number 1. All right. This side here, we've got a few folks randomly spaced out. All right. Over here, we've got a cluster more toward the back. All right. And so I know we sit wherever in a big auditorium. I know when we have Bible school, pastor says, everybody over on this side. I know the church, one of the churches I grew up in, Faith Bible, Wednesday nights were very much like this. And so the usher, they had almost all of the back. They would have the back 8 to 10 rows roped off, all right? So you only could sit in the front, only like the front 4 or 5. And, of course, there's some people who don't like that, all right? But because it's just doesn't, you know, it's different. It's challenging. But, hey, it is what it is. Glad you're here tonight. If you do come by yourself on occasion, look for someone maybe that's by themselves. Offer to sit with them. That'll be an encouragement to them, I know. Philippians chapter number 1. If you were with us last Wednesday night, we finished looking at the word saint or saints. And my intention tonight was to plow ahead and get down to through verse number 6 because we really haven't gotten too far. But you know, we're not in a hurry to cover the Word of God. There's no records being won to say, look how many books of the Bible we covered. We can cover books of the Bible quickly, but we want to do them proper. We want to do them thoroughly. We want to make sure I'm doing it as the Lord would have. And so as I was preparing, you know, the Lord has me park on something just a little bit different tonight. And so I trust you'll see where the Lord leads tonight in these next 15, 18 minutes, all right? Chapter 1 of Philippians. Let's read the first 6 verses, but we're really only going to focus on the verse 1 again. And we'll be turning around to a few passages, so be ready to turn. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship or partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing. Now, this is a great verse, and many believers claim it as a life verse, but you can see how it's being used in the very context in which we read. Paul speaking very tenderhearted and dearly to the saints, the believers at Philippi. He says to them, because again, what's the whole paragraph? It starts in verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, comma. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy, comma. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now, semicolon. Being confident. So this all goes together. He's speaking. I'm very confident of this very thing. Paul, what are you so confident about? That he, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it, will finish it, until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, that's a common theme, right, in the epistles. The day, that day's coming. The day of Jesus Christ, the return of the Lord. It draweth nigh. It could be at any moment, all right? This very same thing that we should be considering and thinking about every single day is the very thing that the Apostle Paul thought about every single day. It's the very same thing that he admonished the churches to think about every single day. And I'm confident that he which began a good work in you will continue. He'll continue that, all right? He'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's go back to verse number one. I spent some time last week talking about biblically what a saint is. Obviously, we would say the Roman Catholic Church is in error, teaching wrong doctrine biblically. There are some other denominations that would be somewhat similar, but maybe a little different, all right? And even what Brother Kilmer alluded to is not the same, but as far as Africa and other countries, ancestral worship, of course, Mormonism teaches some of those similar things, not quite the same as in the dead and why they have the world's largest genealogy of your ancestors and all of those kind of things. And so, yeah, what does it mean when it says Paul and Timothy, or Timotheus, were together? Or at least Timothy was perhaps with him. He may have been the one penning the words as Paul dictated it. Timothy may have been visiting him at this occasion. We know that Paul is in bonds. All right, he says that in verse, I believe, 13, verse 14, verse 16. You see the phrase, my bonds, my bonds, my bonds. Paul is in bonds. He's chained. He's in prison. It's very well likely a house arrest. All right, we believe, based on the timeline of the Bible, that Paul was arrested, taken to Rome for trial. Appeared that he was on house arrest for maybe 2 years, perhaps 3 years. Yes, he was chained to soldiers constantly, but he had some liberty as far as it appears that people could come in and out. You can read that in the book of Acts, and visitors could come. And still would not have been ideal, but it wasn't the dungeon, all right, that we believe, based on church history, it appears that probably he was tried and that he was released. All right, and that he had some more freedom to go and go back and forth. And then under the reign of Nero, when things really ratcheted up as he blamed the Christians, Paul being perhaps the most well-known and famous and the leader, that he was arrested that time and then put in what would be called the maritime prison, the dungeon, all right, that oftentimes tourists will go to see if you travel through Rome. All right, wow, that's where he would have been. All right, so we would probably believe, based on what we know, that Paul is on house arrest here. You can read that people could come, perhaps back and forth. Read the last chapter of Acts where he met with Jewish people and believers that perhaps came in. Maybe he was in a room. People, he could preach, he could teach, all right? And so Paul and Timothy are here, and he's writing to the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, all right? So let me just remind you a little bit from last week what a saint is. That word saint in the Bible is the same word, it's hagios. It's the same word that means sacred. Hallowed be thy name. Holy. Saint, that's all the same thing. It's the same word, same derision. So it has the same meaning of holy, set apart, sacred. Hallowed, our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. All right, saint. So that's that same word there is what it's talking about. A saint is a set apart one, a holy one, a sanctified one, a separated one. Now, we said the Roman Catholic Church believes that saints would be folks who have died and are in heaven, And because of a particular life that they've lived or things that they've done or incredible perhaps miracles associated with them, that they were made an official saint and canonized, and therefore believers are, Catholics are urged to pray to those various saints, including, of course, their, in their view, the greatest saint, the Virgin Mary. Now, we say that is error. That's doctrine. That's apostate. That's wrong. That's not in the scriptures in any way. We can see from the Bible that a saint is a living person. It's a saved person. And we said the key to understanding that is that the word saint in the Bible is not the way that we often use it. Like, oh, isn't she a saint? You know, some person comes to you, your house is below freezing, your oil ran out, you have no food and you're sick, and someone from IBC came to your home and brought chicken noodle soup and did a bunch of stuff. And after you left, they said, oh, what a saint. What a dear saint. Now, there's nothing wrong with them saying, oh, they are so precious. That's a wonderful thing. But really, that's in error. That's not the proper use of the word. That makes us focus on what someone does, an achievement, all right? That's got some truth and error mixed in it. The Bible terminology saint is if you're saved, you're born again, you are a saint. It has nothing to do with your character or your disposition. It has to do with your standing and your position in Christ. All right? How do we know that? Well, read all the verses in the New Testament, especially the Pauline and general epistles, that has the word saint in it. All right? And you'll get a very clear picture of what a Bible saint is. 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 1. Paul writes to the church at Corinth and he calls them saints. Now, what do you know about the church at Corinth? What do you know? Anybody? They're carnal. I could not write unto you as unto spiritual, but as in the carnal. But they're called saints. So if you're using the way we use it today, you say, those believers aren't saints. They're a bunch of rascals. All right? There's all kinds of problems in the church, but they're called saints under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it has to do with your position in Jesus Christ, not your character or disposition. All right? That's the key. That's why when you read all the verses in the Bible, you're like, well, you know, I don't know. I mean, not everybody here had to be a really good saint. You're just looking at it wrong. You're looking at, oh, what are they known for? Are they a nice person? Are they lots of good deeds? That gets into Catholic doctrine. No, your standing is in Christ as a saved person. Boom, you are set apart. You are holy in the sight of God. You are set apart unto Him. Wow, that's your position in Jesus Christ. Now keep this in mind. Saint is short for sanctified one or sanctified. Okay, that's where the word saint comes from. You're a saint. You're a sanctified one. Please remember, though, biblically, there are three stages to sanctification. Sometimes this is where we get thrown off, and I think I was hitting this a little bit last week as we finished. Three parts to sanctification. There's the past, there's the present, and the future. All right? So for instance, if you're here today and you're born again and you trusted Christ and you have a Bible testimony and you could stand and tell us when you called upon the Lord, okay, then the Bible calls you a believer. Bible says you're saved. Bible calls you redeemed. Bible says you're born again. Bible says you're brethren. You're the beloved. You're a saint. Gives you quite a few titles in the Bible. Wow. Whoa. Has nothing to do with your character, your disposition. I mean, the moment you're saved, you're a saint. You say, well, all I did was trust Christ. I mean, I'm still a piece of work. I mean, I still got a lot of things exactly. Not having to do with all the things you're doing necessarily. So if you're here tonight and you're saved, the past is you are saved. That means you were justified the moment of salvation. You were declared righteous through Jesus Christ. You were immediately set apart unto the Lord, completely justified, received the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You were. However, presently, right now, today, you are being sanctified. Positionally, you're being sanctified. So justification is the moment you were saved. That's in the past. You've already been saved. All right? Presently, though, the Bible word is you're being sanctified. You can read 1 Thessalonians, all right, where it talks about our sanctification, about fulfilling lust and being, well, it means what? We should be in the onward, regular, progressive day of being sanctified, being made righteous daily through the Holy Spirit. Say, man, I got a lot of things to work on. My thought life, my mind, my attitude, my spirit. Whew, yeah, I thought I was saved. The moment I got saved, I'm still struggling. Okay, yeah, positionally, you are sanctified in Christ. He did it all. You're justified, absolutely, one time. However, practically, presently, we are in the process of being sanctified. That should be every day. You're growing more like Jesus Christ. You're casting off the works of darkness. You're putting on the armor of righteousness. You're putting off the old man. Okay, that is daily sanctification, being like Christ. But then there's a future sanctification. And that's the very moment that the Lord Jesus comes for his children, the bride for the groom. Boom! That's complete sanctification. No sin in heaven. You won't have the flesh. You won't have the old man. Wow! All right? That is, you will be. That's called what? What's the Bible word? Glorification. All right? So sometimes we shy away from those big words. Justification. The moment you were saved, you're saved. All right? Sanctification. The daily ongoing work of the Holy Spirit to make us more like Christ. And then glorification. Wow, we're in the presence of the Lord. We're in heaven. No sin, no sorrow, no more flesh. Wow, that's called glorification, all right? Three stages, if you would, or parts of sanctification. I went through that fast. Does that make sense? You're like, I don't know about that. Well, have you studied the word sanctification? Have you read the word saint? Sometimes people will say, I don't know about that, but they don't really study the Bible. All right? They just hear a little bit here, hear a little bit there, bring a little bit about in the past. This person said that, I read that. And then they form a doctrine in a way, but is it biblical? Have you studied the word saint? Have you read every verse? All right? Have you studied the word sanctification? See what the Bible teaches here. Paul is writing to the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi. So I want to ask you a question. All right, I'm going to tell you what. I want you to turn two passages in Ephesians. I think I can get this in tonight, all right? Ephesians, go back just one book, right? Just a few pages. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. What's one of the main chief purposes of the church? Well, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he, that's God, gave some apostles and some prophets, we believe those are in the past, and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the what? Of the saints. Now, the Roman Catholic would say, well, they're in heaven. No, the church here and positions in the church that God has called is for the perfecting, the completion, the spiritual maturity of the saints. All right? For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So, interesting there. How about in the same, how about maybe on the same page? How about chapter 5, verse 3? Chapter 5, verse 3. Ephesians 5, 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. I mean, that's just a couple little verses. Go back and read all of them and you'll get a very simple Bible truth of what a saint is. Doesn't mean you're a perfect person. Why? The church for the perfecting of the saints. Ephesians 5. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness shouldn't even be even one time named among you as becometh a saint. Meaning what? Our position and our disposition and character should match. It should match. Yes, we're a saint positionally because of Christ, but yet God has set us apart. We're to be more like Christ, and there are things that ought not to even be able to be named or attached to your lifestyle as a child of God who's been justified by the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be more like Jesus. And so just study. It's a great study in the Word of God. So here's the question as we hone in tonight. Do you love the saints? I'm not talking about Roman Catholic saints. I'm not talking about icons and statues. Do you love the saints at IBC of Duryea? Do you have a genuine love and concern for the saints, the brethren, at this local assembly? When I say that, I'm talking about the complete body. I'm not talking about this family or these friends. Or no. In the Bible, whoa, to all the saints. all the saints at Philippi, to all the saints at IBC Duryea. Do you have a love for them? Do you have affection for them? Do you have a concern for them in this local body of believers? We're not going to get as far as I'd like tonight, but we're going to be hitting on this the next few Wednesday nights. What does the Bible say that as a believer who belongs to a local assembly, what ought to be my thought? What ought to be my, how do I approach the saints? You know, a lot of times churches maybe not as unified, or maybe we say, well, there's groups, or we're not, whoa, is that biblical? What is God's desire to do? What is a body of believers? What does it mean to be made up of the saints? I'll give you just a little touch of what we're going to get to next Wednesday night. 1 John 3:18 says we ought to love the brethren. 1 John 3:16 says lay down our lives for the brethren. And we might say, well, some. Galatians 6:10, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them of the household of faith. Hey, as a Christian, we're to do good unto everybody, but the Bible says priority ought to be the family of God. Just like it should be in your own family. You say, well, I don't mind helping the neighborhood kids. I don't mind helping my needs of my neighbors, but you'd be a pretty wretched person if you didn't meet the needs of your own personal family. God speaks strongly about that. He says, you know what? We ought to do good unto everybody, but especially the household of faith, the family of God. Wow. Hebrews 6:10, the Lord says, I'm not going to forget your labor of love when you have ministered to the saints. Wow, and you start reading the Bible and looking for those things instead of just, you know, whoa, the Lord puts a high priority on this inspired words of God. The saints, the brethren. Wow. There's a lot of things that we're to be doing, and that's all encompassing. All right, not just a specific group or ones that we have a connection with, all right? Wow, Paul constantly saying you've ministered. In fact, who's he writing to? He's writing to a group of believers, saints, the brethren at Philippi. And think about what he's doing. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. He means he thinks of them. And by the way, he's got a lot of churches, not just his church. Always remembering you in prayer. Well, he thinks of them. He prays for them constantly. You read through the book, this little book, you're going to see he writes them. He personally takes the time to write them. He takes the time to encourage and commend them. He constantly is thinking about them and knowing them. And in fact, he says his heart is breaking. He had to know their state, that he sent Timothy to go find out. And he longed to know how they were doing. Let me just want to ask you as we apply tonight, how often do you think of the saints of this church? How often do you seek to minister to the saints of this church? Remember, we're talking about everybody now. Are you known as one who loves the brethren? Are you known as one who ministers to the... I mean, start studying this out. I mean, the Holy Spirit picks out specific people. Stephanas in 1 Corinthians 16, who was addicted to the ministry of the saints. Wow. The Holy Spirit brought a specific family, and that was important to God. They love ministering and serving God's people. Now, we ought to do a lot of stuff. We ought to minister to those around us, the lost. We ought to minister. We ought to, obviously... balance. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. We need to do that. But what about the church family? Are you close to everybody? I mean, what does the Bible say about that? For the perfecting of the saints, unified, one mind, one heart for the purposes of God. Wow. All right. There's why there's strong language in 1 John. If a man hate his brother, he's a murderer. If a man say he loves God and doesn't love his brother, they're a liar. Wow. Look, my beloved children, let us not love in word, but in word and deed. All right. Whoa. I mean, that's God speaking very strongly to a church body of believers. So I want to ask you, how much do you minister to the saints? Now, God even breaks that down more in the New Testament, doesn't he? Specifically, he talks about special attention to widows. It's important to the heart of God. Special attention taking some of the Old Testament, New Testament to the fatherless. And sometimes meeting the necessity of the saints or the poor saints, it says. Some of these churches took special offerings for the poor saints of Jerusalem. A local church sending money to another local church that had poor saints. Wow. Start really studying the New Testament, the word saints and brethren, you're going to get a complete picture of what God says and thinks about that. And then it falls on me and you to say, wow, do I match up what God expects? Wow, that's a pretty important thing. Yes, we need to minister to our own families. Absolutely. Absolutely. God speaks strongly about that in Timothy, 1 Timothy. All right, a man, a father, a husband, taking care of his own family. Not worse than an infidel. All right? And yes, we ought to do our part to meet others' needs, but bring it in. What about the family of God? What about the household of faith? Well, what about God's people? Do we know everybody, number one? Do you know all the names? Do you know everybody well? Do you know the directory? Do you have anybody that's a stranger? Do you seek to get to know them? Do you think about them throughout the week? Do you spend time with them? Do you visit them? You're going to see what the Lord tells us about the saints. Here's a letter written from a man who's an apostle. But he doesn't call himself apostle, does he? He doesn't use it here. He doesn't have to. This church loves Paul. Paul just says, Paul and Timothy, we're just servants. I don't need to remind you I'm an apostle. All right? And I love you. I think about you. And Paul's in prison. That's a step on my toes. We'll say, well, I got lots going on. Life's busy. You're right. You say, well, he's in prison. He had a lot of time. The man's in prison, and he's thinking, people, the family of God, writing to them, sending people to see them, praying for them always, bringing smiles to his faces because he knew them deeply and personally. And then you begin reading the Pauline epistles, and you're if you still have that view that Paul's this bully, you know, that the world loves to use. Probably the bishop of the National Cathedral would probably tell you that the Apostle Paul, you know, was a bigoted racist. That's what people in the world, they don't even know Paul. Read his letters. Look at all the names of the people that loved him and he loved them. All right? Dear friends, Paul poured himself into them. That's part of being sanctified. If you say, well, I don't do that kind of stuff, don't resist the Holy Spirit. That's not biblical in any way. All right. God wants us to be more like his son, be more like him. May you and I, number one, may we be a saint. May we know Christ. Number two, may we understand our position. Number three, may we be addicted to the ministry of the saints. All right. And bring honor and glory to God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, we haven't really even gotten into the book of Philippians. Lord, we're still parked on verse 1. But Lord, what a powerful truth in the Word of God. As we begin reading, as the church begins in the book of Acts about the saints, Lord, not because that we're all nice, charming, kind, lovely people without any flaws, Lord, because we're not. We know we're often full of flesh, but Lord, our position because of Christ is that we are set apart holy unto the Lord. We are in the process and should be every day of becoming more like Christ through the Holy Spirit working. And Lord, we look forward to one day, it could be tonight, that we are with you face to face in total sanctification and glorification without sin. Oh Lord, you spend a lot of time in the scriptures. The vast majority of the New Testament is written to the churches. The Bible says that Christ purchased the church with his own blood. He's going to return for the church, the bride, all saints, the believers, the redeemed ones. Lord, the church's very purpose, one of the church's very purpose is for the perfecting of the saints. And Lord, the Bible mentions often that we are to be ministering to the needs and the wants of the saints. We're to know our church family. We're to love our church family. We're to care deeply for our church family. We're to meet the needs and minister, if at all possible, especially the needs of the church family. Lord, I pray that you would help me lead in that area. I pray that we would have a tender heart for the things of God. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to know our flock, love our flock, minister to our flock, and seek to bring others to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ to be added to the flock. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the wonderful privilege to assemble together, Lord, with saints, as far as we know tonight. Lord, if there be any in our midst, anyone watching from home, any of our teens downstairs, our boys and girls and kids for truth, Lord, if they have yet to trust Christ, if there's some that have been under conviction, if there's some children that have been, God's been using the lessons, but they're scared to talk to mom and dad or grandma or grandpa. If there's a teenager that's doubting their salvation or they know they're not saved. Lord, if there's an adult here tonight, Lord, they might be a saint in the eyes of people that know them. They're such a good person. They're helpful. They'll give their money. But Lord, they may not even be born again. Lord, I pray that tonight be the night they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, thank you for the position we have in Christ. Lord, may we be diligent ministering and serving to all people, but especially those of the household of faith. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.